Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in His presence and my spirit starts to soar. Flying, I mountain up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father clear all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust Him in me, but when things get worse, I hope in You, my strength is in You. I don't know a little more about you. How the world changed and try to take it from you. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the pool. Young boys, young girls trying to save yours. But who will teach them when the older ones won't grow? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. When I'm down in my spirit and I need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation, turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek up the spirit, so I'm a spirit for man, and if I turn away from that, it's just more temptation. I'm tired of the spotting and the tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is You, my strength is You. I want to know a little more about You. As the world changes and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, air pressure in the pool. Young boy, young girl, trying to save joy. But who will teach them when the whole world won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by You. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a messy world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God, yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't even know the preacher preach, I know the way and that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus, hope is in You, my friend.
Well, good evening and praise the Lord and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm your host, Brother Mike, and as always, it is truly a pleasure to be here with you here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to us here live on Live Deliverance and for your continued support of the ministry. Tonight, we're going to have Pastor Steve Lee, and he's going to be teaching on the faith of God. But before we get started, I just want to make an announcement for those who may not have heard or know. Live Deliverance will be here live on Blog Talk only on Mondays and Tuesdays. So for those of you out there listening, Blog Talk will be live for Live Deliverance on Mondays and Tuesdays, still at our regular time at 9 p.m. And then for the rest of the week, you'll be able to catch the broadcast on air at www.livedeliverance.com. Now, with that being said, I do encourage you, please grab pencil and paper or pen and paper, whichever one you like, as we get ready to dive into tonight's teaching on the faith of God, coming from Pastor Steve Lee. All right, Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. And thank you again, Brother Mike. Well, beloved,
If you would, let's join our hearts together and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wonderful things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I was sharing with a brother, and I made reference to some things that we have to deal with. You know, we go through experiences in life, and sometimes we just seem to be stuck in a quagmire of going around and around, looking like what the children of Israel for 40 years, when the destination was right in front of them all the time. And Hebrews teaches us that the reason that they did that is because they did not mix faith with what they heard. Didn't say they never heard it, said they didn't mix faith with it. So we want to kind of dig into that and see if we can get answers to what's next. We've already believed God, and then we don't see things happening. What's next? How do we make that whole thing work? That's why we want to get to an understanding of the faith of God. And I recognize and know for a certainty that because this topic is so large, okay, and it is so personal and sensitive, that might be one of the things that sort of messes us up, because we're looking for formulas. And God's not looking for formulas. He is looking for relationships, and those relationships have to be built on order, okay, in order. They can't just be sporadic. If you're going to try to function in a relationship that's out of order, that doesn't have a flow or a pattern to it, then God is not the one you want to have a relationship with, because he does everything decently and in order. Okay, just want you to kind of think about that. If you are a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of guy, okay, kind of girl, then you might need to park that and begin to walk in his statutes, walk in his laws and principles, okay, because he wants you to enjoy good. He wants you to be really satisfied and accustomed to his faith working in you. He wants you to know how to do that. This is not something that we should think that we're going to become proficient at on our way up to heaven. This is something that we should learn and participate in effectively now. As he is, so are we in this world. See? Thy will, this is Jesus praying, thy will be done in two places the same way. On earth as it is in heaven. Not different down here where I become accustomed to not getting the things that I'm supposed to have, and then on the way to heaven, I'm going to get happy about it. I mean, really, if you know, kind of think about it, if you're not accustomed to the things working here, you won't know how to work them there. Because it's the same rules. Jesus said the rules for heaven are the same as they are on the earth. It's not a different set of rules. Jesus came to establish them in front of us. Okay, all right. God has given us faith to bring victory into our lives over every situation and circumstance that we can ever face. Jesus came and he displayed both this faith and the path for us to walk in. He came and displayed it. That's why people were just all kind of amazed, and it was just normal to Jesus because he walked in the will of God. He didn't come and create the will of God. The book of Psalms says very clearly, I come to do thy will. I didn't come just to create your will. I came to do it. I came to show them that walking in righteousness, walking in holiness is what you can do. We don't think that. So therefore, we excuse the things that we don't do, and then we blame God for that. I just don't know why we do that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had foreordained that we should walk in them. God has already preordained that this is what we should do. Okay? He told us in the beginning, have dominion, subdue, replenish, be fruitful. So he gave us the ability to do that. And if you would understand that, believe that, walk in that, there will not be lack in your life. Those commandments, those empowerments, that blessing, because that's what he said he did, he blessed them and said. Okay? This is the word bless is God's original full intent of how things should be. That's what it means. This is what God intended. This is the fullness of that intent. Okay? The way things ought to work. And he gave us those commands, that blessing, and then he expected that his word, which was spoken, would be able to bring to pass the fruitfulness that he wanted in it. This is not something that God is hiding his hand from you in. He wants you to do this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 says that he wants to display through the church the manifold wisdom of God, and he wants to display that to the principalities and powers that are here. He wants to let you show forth his glory so that every demon knows that Jesus is Lord. Okay? He doesn't want you to fight and not win. He doesn't want to set up fatigue in your life. He's just trying to set up victory in your life. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says that he wants you to be followed. Paul said this, the Apostle Paul said, be followers of me even as I am of Christ, or be imitators. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, in the Amplified, it says it this way, therefore become imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example. And you do this as well-beloved children imitate their father. He said, do this as children that know they are well-beloved and they function as well-beloved. If you know you are loved, this is just the way we should resolve all issues in our heart. If you know that you be loved, okay, we should operate, function in the beloved. We've been made acceptable in the beloved. That means we should know how to be loved. Okay? If you know you are loved, then how much do you think you will be doing without? Okay? That's if you can just get that in your heart. He loves you so much. The next step, if he could love you anymore, the next step after that would be probably close to being spoiled. He loves you just one step short of spoiled, what we call spoiled. He wants to lavish you with his love. He wants to pour his love upon you. The Bible says he's rich in mercy. rich in it. So then you should be able to be the recipient of lavish love. And again, you got to just have some concepts here. God has the gates of heaven in Revelation. It says, chapter 21, it says each gate is one pearl. I don't know if you can imagine how big that pearl would have to be, because these are the gates of the kingdom of heaven. These are the gates, if you would, God walks in and out of. Those are not little bitty pearls. And the gate is a pearl. Glory to God. He walks on streets not paved with gold. They are gold. Okay? This is how he wants to get you to think about all of the goodness that he wants to give to you, bestow on you. Okay? Because see, okay, that's true. I hadn't thought about it from that aspect. Here we go. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, I believe it is, that faith works by love. If I don't think God loves me, my faith now cannot work effectively. You might want to just write that one down. Because your faith works by love. Okay? If you understand that, then you would want to allow love to be seen, displayed in your life. Because the more love that is seen, understood, and displayed in your life, the easier it would be for your faith to work. If you are holding God suspect because of circumstances, then it's going to be pretty hard for you to overcome circumstances, because this is the victory that overcomes circumstances, the world, even our faith. And if you don't think God loves you, then how can your faith work effectively? Okay? Just some Selah moments there. Okay? I might go back and dig into some of them, but we've got to get this down as a premise. I've got to know this. Mm-hmm. The Bible gives us the understanding that the reason Jesus came here was because God so loved. Okay? He left glory and came here because of a so love from the Father. I don't even know how to describe a so love. I mean, it would have been nice if he said God loved. That would have been enough. But he wanted to amplify your understanding of Jesus coming. It was so that you can experience so love. To me, that just sounds like him lavishing love upon me. See? And if I would get that and understand that and walk in that, see, then I would be able to enjoy what he gave me. Okay? So, it says that, you know the scripture, we'll probably go over there and look at this in a minute, but in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that Jesus is the author and finisher or developer of our faith. It is his plan, his steps, and his victory that he has given unto us. We need to get that. He's given, he gives us the victory, okay? He didn't make me work for it. We are supposed to work it. Okay. See, that those are some of the things that we do that causes us to be off track. We're trying to work for faith to be consistent in our life. He's given unto you the measure of faith. Given that. That's not a work for. That's a work out. Okay. God has already deposited. It is God that works in so that we can work out. Okay? You receive, and then from what he has worked in, what you have received, now you work out your own salvation. Okay. You're not working for your salvation. You're working the salvation that you received out. You are becoming more proficient at it. You're going from faith to faith. You're working it out. I hope you see what I'm saying. See, if I'm working to receive, then I didn't believe that he's given me all things. If I'm working from what I've received, now faith is alive and active. Okay? He is the author and developer of our faith. It's his faith, his plan, his steps that we walk in. See? We are his workmanship, created unto good works, which God had preordained that we should walk in them. He did not say that we should work for them. See, that would be like the first thing that we have to understand about faith. See? I live and breathe in this arena. When was the last time those that do not suffer with respiratory attacks, okay? When was the last time you had to work for breath? You didn't. All you did is breathed it. Why? Because it's already there for you to utilize. You didn't have to go and generate what it would take for you to breathe. Go take some oxygen and put some other stuff in it to make it so that you can then inhale and exhale. All you simply did is work it out. Well, your salvation is exactly the same because Jesus said it is finished. It is perfected. It is complete. See? So you start from victory, not trying to get victory. So if you would get that, and Jesus is going to teach us that as we go along here. See? Because you're going to see what he said do in Mark chapter 11 when he said have the faith of God. See? It's our job to work the faith, not work for it. Work in it. Okay? We don't have to make it. All we have to do is use it. Okay? And in our mind, sometimes we're trying to create perfect atmospheres so that the faith that we made can now work. It's not your faith. Have the faith. Turn over to Mark 11, 26. Mark 11, 22-26. See, the word has already been settled in the heavens. We agree with the word. We participate with the word, in the word. And then we enjoy the results that the word guarantees. See? This is what we do. But sometimes, you know, we try to go and create something and hope then that the thing is going to work for us this way. Okay? That's not what he wanted. So let's just look at this whole scenario here. Jesus was teaching them after they saw something that for them was just miraculous. Jesus was walking from one city to another city. Okay? He was going to Jerusalem. And on the way, he saw a tree, and he cursed the tree, and he said, no man eat from this time. Watch this. In verse 13, and he said, seeing a fig tree having leaves, he came, and happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Then Jesus answered and said unto it. I love that. He answered and talked to the tree. That's what he said right there. Then he said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And it says in that verse that the disciples heard it. They heard this conversation. Okay? Jesus is teaching because he knew they were watching. He knew they were listening. And then he went into the temple and he got some things straight there. Okay? And then in verse 19, when the evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered them, saying, Have faith in God. Or, as it is literally translated, have the faith of God. For verily, truly, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, because of this, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. All right, I can see how we try to line things up so much. I get the concept there. Because we want to make sure that as we stand praying, forgive. Okay? Because if I don't forgive, then the trespass will stop me from receiving. Actually, that's not what it said. But I'm going to go ahead with that. I see that. That's the teaching that we had. See? He wants you to be right so that it will be right. Because remember what he told Cain and Abel when they was doing that thing when Cain killed his brother. He told him, he said, if you do good, it'll be good. If you don't do good, well, know something. You're going to have to deal with sin. Okay, let's try it from this angle. See, he didn't say that good was going to leave. He said that if you do good, it'll be good. If you don't do good, you're going to have to deal with sin. Sin is couching at the door. And you're supposed to have dominion over sin. And because you didn't handle it right, sin is going to deal with you. Okay? Okay, I just want you to kind of see these things. If I don't handle the promise correctly because of a bad heart, then I can't get to flow in the thing God has already promised. The transgression or the trespass that you have is that you will not be able to see God because you'll be blinded by your sin, by your offense. Okay. Did not say that the thing you were asking for is going to be withheld. You won't see it. Okay? Because there is an offense that you place there between you and God. It becomes offense, not offense. Okay, anyway. So I just want you to kind of know, Jesus said here, I want you to have the faith of God. I want you to function in it. And then he kind of gave us some hints of how this whole thing is supposed to work. He says, for truly, I say unto you that if you would say, I need for you to understand some things about what God was setting in place again. Because in the beginning, everything in God's creation worked by verbal execution. Okay? Any verbal expression is what God set this thing in motion by. And God said, let there be. Okay? So then he wants you to, again, deal with the things that's needed in your life or that are in your life. He wants you to speak to them and have faith that what you say is going to be what's going to come to pass. Because if you would say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall not and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's like the foundation scripture that we would use to be able to make sure we can connect with God in that area, that realm, okay? The phrase to have faith in God is not a catch-all phrase. so that we can say, you know, I'm trusting God and I'm waiting on him to do it because I done said it. That phrase is not an excuse for our failure when we doubt. Because notice what he told you. He said, if you believe that those things that you say and do not doubt, those are the things that will come. Okay, that's true, sir. If you say what you are believing God for and do no doubting, those are the things that shall come to pass. But if you say the things that you want and you have doubt, that thing's not moving. Okay? I'm just trying to get you to see that so that you will not, again, blame God for your as an excuse for your doubt. Okay? God gave us faith for a pathway to victory. Because whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith works best when we work it. Faith works best when we work the system that faith was set up by and in. Okay? And again, this is not a formula, okay? But there is a systematic way for these things to be understood and executed. It's not a formula, okay? But if I don't have these steps in order, then I'm going to not enjoy the life faith is supposed to produce. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, these are familiar scriptures. I just want to kind of throw some things out there. All right? And we know it. Let's go ahead and read it together. Starting in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So, I want you to kind of look at this. This scripture shows us that faith has a foundation, belief, substrate, pistis. That's what that is. It says faith is the substance, okay? It didn't say faith was etherical. Please get that. Faith has substance, or faith is the legal title deed. Okay? It has substance. Okay? Faith is activated by hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is activated by hope. And it has evidentiary support. Undeniable truth by witness. Watch this in verse 2. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. It has evidentiary support. It has undeniable truth by witness attached to it. See, I'm not just coming up making up things that I want to be true. Okay, I hadn't looked at it that way. It says that by this faith, elders obtained a good report. Let's do it this way. They had systems of believing God that had been tried, and this was the evidence that it worked because they had a good report. Okay? People were able to say about what their hope was, the evidence that they were hoping in, it came to the place where God moved and did what they were hoping for, and it brought a good report. I don't know, maybe if it had just brought a report, that might have been one thing, but it brought, they obtained, it said. They walked in this good report. It was undeniable that which they believed happened. They obtained a good report. So faith has a foundation. Faith has substance. Faith has evidentiary support. Faith has a frame. Wow. Look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Faith brings an understanding. Faith gives us an understanding, which would be the layout which holds the word or the image in the proper position. Okay? That's what a frame does. A frame holds the image or the word, in this case, in the proper light position. Okay? If I don't see the word in the proper light, then I don't have the proper image, do I? Or if I try to look at the word in the dark, it's not framed correctly, is it? Because when the word is framed correctly, according to Psalms 119:130, it says the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So if I'm using the word of God and I'm looking at things in a dark area through the glass darkly, see? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what God said. A lot of times, we don't have the word framed correctly for the manifestation. We just threw it up against the wall and hope it stuck. No, I need to take the time and make a proper fitting for the word. Excuse me. See, once I make a proper fitting for the word, my expectation is now accurate. My expectation now has parameters that would cause me to be able to know where it is every time. If I've got faith all over the wall, I don't know what faith I've been trying to believe for. But when I frame it, I can isolate that thing, and I can always go to the frame that I put it in, and it will look by image the same, won't it? Okay. I can always enlarge my frame. But when I dismantle or revisit my frame and enlarge it, I still know where it is because I'm going to frame it. If we don't take the time to frame the thing that we're believing God for, by the word of God, please look at this. Through faith, we understand that worlds, I love the S on that. So that means I could be getting more than one thing framed at a time. God framed worlds. And those worlds came into manifestation. Okay? So then God wants us to frame everything that we are believing him for by the word. Notice he did not tell us to frame the things that we're believing him for by our emotional connection, by our heartfelt desire. He said that faith should be understood this way, that frame of the word of God is necessary. Okay? You just read that, circle, underline, put parentheses by it. He says, through faith, if it's faith, y'all, come on, see? If it's going to be emotional desire, then I'm not going to be able to frame it, and that which I want is not going to be made manifest because it was not surrounded by the word of God until the image of the thing is so crystal clear that it's impossible for me not to possess it because I've already framed it. If you don't frame the thing, beloved, it probably doesn't belong to you. If I don't take the time to isolate it out so that it always looks the same when I glance at it, that it gives me a hope and imagery so that I can then function by that hope and imagery. Okay? If I'm just throwing a frisbee up, a frisbee is a thrown frisbee does not have framing in it, does it? It is just in the wind, and wherever the wind moves, that's where that frisbee is going to go. The inertia that I had when I threw it is going to give way to the motion of the wind, isn't it? And we know that the motion of the wind can toss things about to and fro. That's what happens when we don't have a thing framed. But once it is framed, it is, if you would, cemented in a place where I can recall it. Because I know what it looks like. I have taken the time to frame it the same way God framed the world. And then he says in verse 3, he did that for a purpose. Not only is it needed to be framed, because it gives me the ability to go into another dimension. Okay, it is transferable legal tender. Listen at it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that, in order to, things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. That's just a beautiful scripture right there. He says God framed it so that he can enter into dimensional realms that I'm not dealing with right now. This gives me legal, transferable tender. Faith is, if you would, the tender of heaven. It is how exchange is made. See, I exchange hope with faith. And then the thing that I'm not seeing will bring the thing into my life. Excuse me, the thing that I am seeing, the thing that is framed. That's why I need to frame it. I need to focus on it. The thing that is framed brings into manifestation things that don't, okay, that don't appear. Listen to the way he says it. So that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Okay? That's just interesting. God gives us kingdom principles. And these kingdom principles were in faith before we even got here. That's why Jesus wants us to go back to the way it was before we messed it up. That's why he told us, have the faith of God. Because things that we see in the spirit, things that we frame by the word of God, things that are made of that which is eternal, will bring out of that which is eternal things that were seen but did not appear. Okay. A chair was made out of wood, but when the tree was there, the chair did not appear. The tree had limbs and then leaves, but the tree did not have chair. Someone saw chair out of the tree, and they made chair out of that which did not appear. There was no chair in the tree, but yet the chair was in the tree. You see what I'm saying? Because faith gave him an understanding of how to frame something to sit on. And he framed that which he saw, and it became chair. But when you look at the tree, you didn't see chair. Okay? So God wants us to see things in the spirit. And when we see things in the spirit, the things that we saw in the spirit that did not yet appear will be able to come out of that which we have framed. Don't you know we have the power to call those things to be not as though they were? Notice we don't call those things that as though they, those things that will be as though they were. We call the things that be not. They don't be there. They haven't appeared yet. When we transfer things from the spirit into the natural, because we sow into the spirit. And when you sow into the spirit, you will then be able to reap in the natural, not reap from the natural. You will be able to reap. You get different dimensions. You can legally pass through the dimension of from that which is seen to that which is not seen. You sow into the spirit, and you shall of the spirit reap. You shall reap from that which the Spirit sees. And it will bring that which was in the Spirit into manifestation in the natural. When you sow into the Spirit, you can reap by the natural, not from it. Okay? You can reap in the place that you're standing. I'm trying to say this right. When you see in the Spirit, you can bring what you see in the Spirit, what you have framed in the Spirit, what you have heard from God when you get the understanding, because faith gives you an understanding. Okay? Through faith, we understand. And when that understanding is fruitful, now you have sown in the Spirit, and now you can reap from the Spirit while you're here in the natural. Okay? You can bring that which is higher into that which is lower. Doesn't it say that my God, the way we say it is, that my needs are met. He wants to meet my needs. That's what we say in it. Notice he doesn't want to make your needs. He wants to meet them. The reason that was important to me today is because something that's already made now can meet. Something that's already made can meet. Something that's already made can supply. Something that's not made has to be made so that it can survive. But God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, so he doesn't have to make them. They can now just meet my need. I can just be introduced to that which I saw in the Spirit. I will bring it out of the Spirit where it already is, and it will meet my need. Okay? That's why he says again in 2 Peter chapter 1, you can turn over there. Again, I'm just trying to give you some refresher so that we can see this. See, this is how the faith of God works. See, I'm not talking about spooky stuff. The thing already exists. He just told us that in Hebrews, that the things that are made were not made out of things that do appear. There was something that he hid for those that would seek him. And as you seek him, then he's able to bring that which he revealed to you. And even at that, the devil can't even stop that. Because Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on this revelation, and the gates of hell cannot stop it. They will not prevail. Glory to God. See? So then when we begin to live our life by the word of God, frame out the thing that God has opened up our understanding to, frame it out, and then the thing that you frame when your understanding is fruitful, then that thing will come out of the dimension that the Spirit allowed you to see into and bring that thing into the natural, into your life. Manifestation is guaranteed after I have framed the thing by the word of God. And I get and understand that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. I get that. And when he gives you the desire in the Spirit, he wants you now to frame that by the word of God so that you can bring it from the Spirit into the natural. Every time, all the time. So then we will try it this way. If you haven't spent any time framing it, it's going to be very hard for you to bring it into manifestation, isn't it? And a lot of times we just see it, but we didn't frame it. Through faith, we understand that worlds were framed. I'm a builder by trade. And so I understand this whole concept of framing the thing by giving it structure. And sometimes what I see and what I frame might be at a different dimension or size than what you see and what you frame. You might be all right living in a one-bedroom house, apartment that you frame. I see bigger than that. I would see because mansions are available to those that have been called by the name of the Lord. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. So then my understanding that became enlightened was bigger than just a one-bedroom apartment. See? So then I framed that by the word of God. I frame that. When I take the time to frame something by the word of God, it's impossible for me to continue to try to frame it so that I can consume it with all my lust. Because I know if I'm framing it by the word of God, I cannot see a thing and then ask amiss. I'm going to have to ask according to what I framed it in by the word of God. See? Because he will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly, from those that have been trained in framing. See, because I've taken the time to make sure that I make things square, even. I rightly divide the word of truth so that when I divide it, it is proportionate now for my frame that I have. The image that's on the inside of my heart now has been proportionately framed by the word of God. It fits my heart. It fits my life. Well, I'll do it this way. It fits my heart and my life fits into it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because out of your belly flows stuff that's alive. Out of your belly flows that which connects to God. So that my life fits into that which I have framed by the word of God. That would be exactly the way it is in with the world that was framed. The world was framed and we fit into that which was framed. We fit into, or our life is into the place he framed it. It's in the world. So then if you would spend time framing it, then your life can live inside that which you framed. Glory to God. See, but if you haven't spent the time framing it, then that's why it's coming apart. See, I connect that which should be connected, line upon line, here a little, there a little. I make sure that everything is in the right place and perspective because I'm framing it with the word of God. If I want bigger, then I have to frame bigger. That means my heart has to be enlarged then, doesn't it? See? I build, I have to be a wise master builder. Isn't that what Paul told us to do? See? I have to be a wise master builder. I don't build. This is what he said. I don't build on another man's foundation. I don't see somebody else with it and then try to reproduce that in my life. No, what I do is I see it in the word of God. I frame it in the word of God. And then when it is framed in my life that way, my life now can fit in that frame. Glory to God. Whew. See? We're not supposed to function as beggars, orphans, or illegal immigrants. We've been given authority and power. And the faith that God has given to us, the faith that has a foundation, substance, evidentiary support, the faith that has a frame and has legal, transferable tender. See, some of the things, God Almighty, y'all, some of the things that we would like to do is still yet illegal. It's still a lust. But when I take the time to frame it, part of my framing would be, if any two agree on earth as such a thing, it shall be done by them of our Father who is in heaven. See, I would share my vision, write down the vision, make it plain so that they that see it can run with it. See, I would begin to share with people that are of like precious faith. Okay? And then when I do that, now I'm framing this thing correctly, aren't I? You know, I don't have to be afraid. I mean, seriously, Jesus said, if you have a revelation of the Father, if you got revelation that he gave to you, then Jesus said, now I will build. I will help you frame that. And when I help you frame that, the gates of hell will not prevail against that. I am building an entity that has relationship with me, the church. I'm not building buildings that are dead. I am building people that have a relationship with me. And when the people that are on the outside see the relationship and the outflow of that which has been framed in their heart, they're going to say, how and what must I do to be saved? What must I do to live like that? Because you're living now by the connection of a heart, God to man. You're living by that connection. You have caused that to be alive on the inside of you, and God can give inspiration to you, inspired, spirit breathed. He can give you inspiration, and you will take that inspiration and then frame out the world that you want to live in. See? 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So he's giving you some more information that if you're going to do this, you have to get them that have obtained. Like, he's wanting you to have somebody to agree with. He's wanting you to have someone to, if you would, sound as a sounding board for the thing that you receive from God. That way, you don't have to worry about it being off, because it'll be established according to Scripture. It'll be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. But if I can't get it to be established, why am I still lusting after it? Just because I saw it. No, I need to go and let's get into the Word. Let's frame this with the Word. Because then when I get someone else to agree, then that thing shall be done of our Father who is in heaven. Who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath, past tense, given unto us, A-L-L, all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm glad he put life first. But he wants me to build both. He wants me to build my life and build godliness in my life. Please see that. He wants me to build. He wants grace and peace that's going to be able to multiply my understanding of God and of our Lord Jesus. And when I get that, then I will be able to experience the power that he's given to me that will cause me to enjoy all things that pertain to life and godliness through this knowledge that he sent. Okay? But if I'm going to just continue to live my life like the world and then try to get God to stamp his approval on that, that's not according to the divine power that has been given unto us. That's the natural power that we had, because all that is in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And even if you, come on, y'all, even if you frame your life with that, he said, these things will all pass away. Glory to God. See, he's building up on the thing that will not pass away. He's building on that which is eternal. See, when we look at things which are not seen, but the things that are seen are temporary, subject to change. But the things that are not seen, the things that do not appear. See, when God gives me a revelation, I have to frame that revelation by the Word of God. Because that Word of God that is framed, come on, y'all, that Word of God that is framed now lives and abides forever. It was already going to live, but now it can abide in me, because I have framed it. I have framed it. I have made it part of the structure and fabric of my life. See? That's what he's asking us to do. Because when I'm in a relationship with him, then he allows me to get revelation. He brings revelation to me so that I can build. Why? So that I can enlarge my dwelling place. because he's interested in the whole earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way the waters cover the sea. But see, if I don't frame it correctly, I can't build it or bring it into manifestation so that people will see it and I give testimony of the goodness of the Lord. And then they take that testimony and say, you know what? By this, he has obtained a good report. This is faith. If my faith does not allow your life to build by faith, that's not a good report. If my life causes you to build by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, then when you build, those things will vanish, perish. They will come apart. Okay? I'm trying to give you insight that will never be undone, because the thing that God says about his word is it will endure. Come on, you didn't catch that. It will endure. The word of God endureth forever. It will go through trials, but it will still be there after the trial. Okay? If I have the word of God at the end of the trial, the word will still be there. If I don't have the word of God at the end of the trial, I'll be in another trial. See? I mean, we just got to understand. I get the concept. I get the construct that while you are in the world, you shall have tribulation. But I need to find the good cheer. And the good cheer comes because I know he has overcome this. It's going to give me the ability to endure forever. See? Because God's word will not return to him void. It will accomplish that which he pleased. It will prosper in the thing. It will help my image become more clear so that I can then frame it more accurately. Because as I frame that which is exact, that which is precise, then it'll cause me to be able to live in that framed world. See? And then from that world, come on, y'all, from that world, I'll be able to speak another world into existence. That would be the same as glory to glory, faith to faith. That would be the increase that I'm supposed to have. God wants to increase me. He wants to cause me to be stretched to more and more. He just said, grace and peace be what? Multiply. That stretched more and more. He wants to increase me 1,000 times. Okay? He's interested in what I have framed getting bigger so that I can abide there. He does not want me to live in a one-bedroom apartment forever. He's not mad because you start there. But he wants you to allow grace and peace to be multiplied so that you will increase. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might move from the one-bedroom apartment, that you might have that life more abundantly, that you would become a homeowner. Why? So that the testimony of the Lord can be shared, can be seen, can be made evident. Remember, we said that faith has a foundation. It has substance. It has evidentiary support because they obtained this report. It has transferable legal tender. That which I have, I should be able to give that same inspiration and information to other men so that they would see it. How do you think we're supposed to stop the evil that's in the world if we don't know how to transfer this information to the world? That's why Jesus told them personally. He did not even leave this for the apostle Paul to give the information. He told us personally, go and make disciples of all men. Teach them to observe everything that I taught you. Teach them. I didn't get to Luke chapter 17. Teach them to speak to mountains, and the mountain would be cast into the sea. Teach them to live by the words that have been framed in their heart. Come on, not just the word that visits their heart, the word that has been framed in their heart. So that when they speak from that frame the position, then the thing that they say will bring into manifestations things that did not appear. Oh, beloved, we've got to get a little bit further in this than just, you know, claim it, until you possess it. I get the concept. There's nothing wrong with that. But we didn't execute that too good. Okay? It was just things that we would say and kind of just wish they would come. And then years later, we still haven't engaged the process that God told us that we're supposed to take the faith and let the faith give us an understanding. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed so that things that are seen are not made with things that do appear. We live on the fresh manna from heaven. We live on that which is born of the Spirit, for whatever is born of the Spirit overcomes. And this then is the victory that overcomes the world, even the faith that works like this. See, it's not me trying to leverage the Word of God into manifestation. It's me working the system that God put in place. Have a foundation, the belief, the substrate. Then make sure that my legal title deed, I found it in the Word. That's why it's legal title deed. I have the promise that's a yes and an amen. It has evidentiary support, undeniable truths by witness. Then I begin to take that, and my understanding becomes profitable, and I frame that word over and over in my heart. I add to that word, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And then as I do that, that vision, that image that's inside the frame becomes unstoppable in my spirit. I sow to that. And that which I now see in the spirit will be brought into manifestation. Because we bring things from the spirit, as we sow in the spirit, we then can reap in the natural. We bring the higher into the lower. Our needs are met and not made. We function in this life as joint heirs in Christ. But the choice is yours. Which way will you choose it? Your way, by working and trying to make the thing work, keep manipulating it until it works? Or will you begin to, by the Spirit of God, receive revelation, impartation, inspiration, and then frame your worlds and bring into manifestation the promise that He opened your heart up to? God's waiting on you. His way or your way? Father, we just thank you and bless you for your loving kindness and tender mercy, for your word that you sent to us to cause healing. Thank you, Father, that as we receive healing, we can then move into the spirit that you want us to function in, to see things by your word, to frame our lives by your word, and then enlarge our dwelling place by your word so that we can enjoy good at your hand. We give you praise for that, sir. Glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks, let's open up lines, and we're going to get some commentary on tonight's teaching. I'm starting with area code 470. 470, you have the mic.
Amen. What's the next exchange? 470.
418.
470, 418, you have the mic. Glory to God. and those that are just sometimes people listen and they're trying to make up a decision whether they're going to connect, and I got no problem with that. Thank you for even being on the program tonight, and I hope it was truly a blessing to you. Amen.
Amen. I think what it is something the board is not letting anybody call in.
Let them in?
Okay. Yeah, it's not letting them in. So, that looks like what it's doing. So, with that being said, Pastor Steve, what would you like to close us out on before we bring it to an end?
Just if we would just think about how to allow God access to our heart in a different way than just was wrote, but to say, okay, God, I am yours completely. So then I'm going to find out by faith how to please you. Not going to work it out. I'm going to let you impart, and I'm going to then work out of it. That's the only thing that I would want you to do is work out of that which God has already worked in. Don't try to go figure out something else and work that in. That's not always the plan of God for victory. That's all I would have to say about that. And
amen.
We'll probably do part two of this next week, Brother Mike. I'll probably do part two because I would like to go into Luke chapter 17. And I know that. So I'll probably try to go get this done next week. So let's try to do part two.
Okay. All right. All right, folks, we would like to thank you for tuning in to us here and listening to us live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here, please sow a seed to the ministry. We thank you for your continued support. And for those of you who are out there listening, if you did not hear the announcement, we will be here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com every Monday and Tuesday evening at 9 p.m. for the rest of the week. You'll be able to catch the broadcast on www.livedeliverance.com. Please go there and stop by and enjoy the broadcast there. There's lots of wonderful information that we have on the site, and there you'll be able to see the teachings of many of the ministers that we have here on staff at Live Deliverance at blogtalk.com. With that being said, shalom, everyone. Good night. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here next time live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone.